All right, last time I preached, we looked at the subject of the fear of the Lord. We looked at the balance in the fear of the Lord. There's this great awe of God. There's this great understanding of the greatness of God, but yet it's something that causes somebody to draw close, to obey God, to put their full trust in Him as they understand that the way God operates. It's not a fear that causes us to run from God, but it's a fear that causes us to draw close to Him with an obedient heart that trusts Him and follows Him and puts our confidence and reliance upon Him. We also looked at acquiring the fear of the Lord. We looked at it's a choice. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 29, it talks about how they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is a choice that each one of us makes in our life. We're either going to choose to fear God or we're going to choose to go our own way. And that was the second area we looked at in acquiring the fear of the Lord, is that we have to be willing, we have to realize the problem of my way. If you're going to go your way, you can't have the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. When we get set on our way, we have to realize that we're rejecting the fear of the Lord. So we have to understand the problem of my way and how it really runs against having the fear of God in our lives. We saw how it's encouraged by godly leadership. I believe we also looked at the fact that the fear of the Lord is acquired through the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 17 and verse 19, the king was to have a copy of God's Word. Let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 19. Let's read verse 18 and 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 17. The Word of God in our lives can greatly influence us in having the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. So he's supposed to copy out, make his own copy. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Notice verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So notice the importance of God's word in the king having the fear of God. He's supposed to write a copy. He's supposed to keep it with him. So he shall read therein some of the days of his life. It says all the days of his life. You know, that close relationship with God's word. Imagine how much different the history of Israel would have been if the kings of Israel would have simply followed this one command of Scripture. Amen. It would have drastically changed their history. And you know, men tonight, as leaders of your family, the Word of God can drastically change for the better the course of your family. And how important it is to have a close relationship with God's Word, and to carry it out, to implement it in our families. So we see the fear of the Lord being acquired through God's Word. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 31. But not, it wasn't just for the king to know God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Says in Deuteronomy 31, And let's begin reading in verse 11. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Notice again the importance of hearing it, of learning it, so that they what? Fear the Lord their God. The Word of God has such an important place in young people, in men, in women, in children, learning to fear God. You know, what is your relationship with God's Word? You know, if it just goes in one ear and out the other, then obviously you haven't heard it. But we need to obey it. And we'll see that obedience, go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. And notice the relationship with obedience to acquiring the fear of God. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse number 23. Fearing God comes as you obey Him. It says in verse number 23, let's start in verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. As they trusted God, as they obeyed him, what was going to be built in their lives? This fear of God. As they recognized God's blessing upon those that obeyed him. It would bring a fear of God. It would bring this close relationship, this awe of God in their lives. So there's the reading of God's Word, but there's also the obedience to God's Word that brings the fear of God into our lives. In one of the aspects of acquiring the fear of God really comes through an understanding of who God is. Go to Proverbs chapter 9. And obviously, as you read the Word of God, it's going to help you to understand who God is. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says, and the knowledge of the holy. It's a parallel idea here with the fear of the Lord. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. So understanding is parallel with wisdom. Fear of the Lord is parallel with the knowledge of the holy. How do you have the fear of God in your lives? Well, the knowledge of the holy. Understanding who our God is will enable you to have a fear of God. So knowing God. Also, if you're going to have the fear of God, it takes commitment. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. These are pretty familiar verses, and we're not going to spend much time, but we need to understand that the fear of the Lord takes commitment. In Proverbs chapter 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. You know, it's like the idea, think of like your ear being pricked up. You know, you think of that watchdog. Boy, he hears a sound and there goes his ear right up. Is your ear inclined to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding? Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So we find the commitment that is required to have the fear of God in your life. Now, do you really want the fear of God? How important is it to you? Now, we're going to look tonight at some issues that it's important to have the fear of God. It's the foundation for our lives. And we're going to look at some issues, but you know what? If you're going to have the fear of God, it takes commitment. It's not just going to kind of come into your life. You know, it's not going to come in by osmosis. And you just kind of put your Bible by your head and just going to gradually transfer over. Right? It takes commitment. And you can see by this passage, you know, hiding His commandments with you, inclining your ear, applying your heart, you know, crying after it, lifting up your voice, seeking her as silver. We see the great commitment involved in having the fear of God. You know, but it's something that what? That is attainable. It says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. But next, I'd like us to switch gears a little bit and really look at the importance of the fear of the Lord. We'll see that it's the foundation of life, is the fear of God. And the first area we're going to look at is that the fear of the Lord is the foundation of learning. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. We're in Proverbs 2. Just go back just a little bit. And in the future, I might even preach more of a message on this one, but Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We looked at Proverbs 9 and verse 10 already. The fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. The foundation for wisdom, the foundation for real knowledge in life begins with the fear of God. If you don't have a concept of God, if you don't understand the way God operates, if you don't understand God's truth, then you have no foundation for real learning in life. You know, in any education system that leaves God out is majorly flawed and will fail because it misses what real education is all about. And so our learning must be based upon the fear of God. You know, one of the great benefits of a Christian school is learning things from what? From a biblical basis. Having teachers that understand who God is. Obviously, they all can grow in their understanding of who God is. But seeing life from God's perspective. And it makes such a difference. You know, let's go to Malachi. I'm just going to give maybe just a couple illustrations. You know, we hear a lot about equality in our modern day society. Well, you know what? The Bible teaches equality. Malachi chapter 2, just a little bit different equality than what the world teaches, though. Malachi chapter 2. You know, the Bible teaches that the basis for equality is creation. It says here, and even our, you know, our founding fathers understood that. In Malachi 2, in verse number 10, it says, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man, against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? You know, so here we have proper dealings with others, and it's based upon what? The fact that we have one Father, that one God has created us. But what we see about equality is that it's all based upon who? Well, it's based upon God. And any teaching on equality that leaves God out is going to be off basis. And what happens in our society? Well, real equality recognizes that there's what? One God that has created us. And ultimately, his laws tell us what real equality is. Now, what if we had somebody that went out and, stole a car tonight? And he said, well, I didn't have a car, so we all should be equal, so I should have a car. We say, well, that's not right. But in essence, almost that's where our whole philosophy of equality in our day and age is going to. But you know what? That's not how God operates. It says I got to find where I put my references here. But in the book of Proverbs, the Bible talks about how God hears, the prayers of the upright. And I can't remember the exact verse, but it talks about how he's far from the wicked. God does not treat God treats everyone equally, so to speak, but that is based upon their actions. There is a justness to God. And what do you get in the public school? Well, you can do whatever you want in some ways, and you're what? You're treated equally. Well, that's not, and only maybe to a certain extent. But we see here that equality is based upon creation. And if you're not teaching creation, if you're not treating God, your system of equality is going to be far off. Because it's based upon how God operates, how God deals with mankind. And I think the reference that I was looking for was Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 25. It says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. But he will what? He will establish the border of the widow. It says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. God's system of dealing with people is based upon his laws. And true equality will always follow, will always treat everyone according to the laws of God. It says here in verse number 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. There are some people's prayers that God hears and some people's prayers that God doesn't hear. And some people say, well, that doesn't seem very fair. Well, it is. It's true equality. And it's only found through the fear of God. I'll go over to Psalm number 33. As you see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we find the center of that really is the word of God's teaching on creation. It says in verse number 6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. What if somebody decided to go out and build a house? And they decided that they were going to build their house with shaving cream. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? They could build this huge mansion and maybe it just happened to be a cloudy day. And things seemed to be going great. It was a cool, cloudy day. It wasn't melting. And they formed this great looking place. Well, what's going to happen? The sun comes out and the stuff's what? It's gone, isn't it? Well, it was foolish, wasn't it? But it says here in the Word of God, it says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Somebody might say, where did they get their education on building? That doesn't make any sense. Superior shaving cream sheds or something. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's not going to last. Well, the Word of God says that the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. And if you're going to do anything worthwhile in life, it must be based upon what God says in His Word. Otherwise, it's not going to last. And just like we see, it would be foolish to try to make something out of shaving cream. If you're going to do anything worthwhile with your life, it must be based upon God's Word. And a real education must have God's Word at its center. Otherwise, what are you going to really do with your life that's worthwhile? And so we find the fear of the Lord is the foundation for real learning. And you know, if we think about, you know, the public school system for a little bit here, you know, what's maybe the big deal? Well, let's go to Proverbs chapter 7. You know, what's the big deal with sending a child to the public school? Well, in my book, it is a big deal. Proverbs 7, verse 24. It says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." You know, you send your young men to the public school, and what are you doing? You're sending them an environment of strange women. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "She hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the what? The way to hell." It says earlier in the chapter, notice what it says in verse 13. It says, "So she caught him and kissed him." Notice that, she caught him. You know, the strange woman, they what? They go after. They're not content to just wait for somebody to come to them. You know, wait for somebody else to make the decision. You know, they make the decision for them. It says in verse 21, it says, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips," notice this, "she what? She forced him." You know, this is a pressure that the strange woman puts upon young men that is what? That is hard to deny. And, you know, you probably could talk to Philip as he walks down the hallway of a public school. And you see the way, you know, young ladies dress. You know, is that really what a parent would want to do to their young person? You know, it's a terrible outcome. Her house, her what? Her house is the way to hell. Notice what it says over in Matthew chapter 18. You know, it's a serious end. Well, somebody might say, well, you know, okay, baby destruction comes, but, you know, my children are already saved. So, you know, I'll send them there, and I know they're saved, and so I think it'll be okay. Well, notice what it says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 6. It says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me," my Bible says offend as caused to stumble or sin. It says, "it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now, that's a pretty stern warning. God sees the life of children and their future as very important to Him and to His cause. You know, we as parents need to take very careful, not just about sending to the public school, but just in raising our children. That is very important what we do, that we set the right example. Because the future of children And that if we would do something that would cause them to get away from the Lord, is such, carries with it such grave consequences. And so we see that the fear of the Lord is the foundation of learning. And without it, you can't really have an education. We see also that the fear of the Lord is the foundation for our relationship with others. I think this is another very important truth for us to get a hold of. The fear of the Lord is the foundation for our relationship with others. Let's go to Psalm chapter 15, and then we'll go to Proverbs. Psalm number 15. It says in verse number 1 of Psalm 15, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? So what kind of person is going to be here in the presence of God? Well, then skip down. There's some things that are said. Then skip down to verse number 4. It says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned or despised. So they despise vile people. Those aren't the kind of people they want to be around. It says, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Who do you honor in your life? Do you honor people that fear God? Are you friends with people that fear God? Do you respect people that fear God? The fear of the Lord ought to provide the foundation for our relationships with others. Go over to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 in verses 21 and 22. It says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? So it starts off with saying, fear thou the Lord and the king. All right, so obviously this is a statement of those that are in authority. God's in authority. God's put the king in authority. But then it says, and meddle not with them that are given to change. All right, so they don't like the authority. And so what do they want to do? They want to change it. They want things to be their way instead of the direction that the king or the authority or the Lord wants. And so we find that the fear of the Lord ought to guide our relationships with others. The Bible says don't meddle with those kind of people. Those that are looking to change things. To have it what? To have it their way. It says why? For their calamity shall rise suddenly. And who knoweth the ruin of them both. So we find here the fear of the Lord ought to guide our relationships. It's the foundation for our relationship with others. The fear of the Lord must be at the center of your friendships. If not, it could cause great catastrophe in your life. In Psalm 128, we find the fear of the Lord needs to be the foundation for our family. And it talks about the great blessing that will be in the household that has the fear of the Lord at the center. It says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The fear of God needs to be every man tonight. The fear of the Lord needs to be the center of your life. And what does God promise? He promises blessing for your family. So we find here is the fear of the Lord is the foundation for our family. We also see the fear of the Lord is the foundation for our service. The Bible says in Psalm number two, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. 1 Samuel 12, verse 24 says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. The foundation for our service must be the fear of God. We also see that the foundation for, we're going to close with this and maybe spend some more time in the future, but the foundation for receiving God's blessing is the fear of God. You know, there's some great verses in the Bible for how God will bless those that fear Him. You know, when you choose God's way, God will bless your life. And it says, it talks about in Malachi, it talks about the book of remembrance that is written for those that fear Him. And you know, it's not just blessing right now in this life, but there is eternal blessing that comes to the pathway of those that will be willing to fear God and to choose His pathway in life. You know, it's not going to be popular. You know, you may lose some friends over it. But do you want your family to be one that is successful in God's eyes and is prosperous spiritually? Or do you want to just simply have the accolades of the people of this world? The fear of the Lord is such an important thing. And I hope that it is something that you will search after in your life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just pray that You would help us, Lord, to understand the importance of having the fear of God in our lives. Lord, how far we fall short. Lord, I know how far I fall short. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us to choose Your ways. Lord, to get into God's Word. Truly seek to understand the way that You operate. Lord, in this wicked day and age in which we live, Lord, would You help us to not make foolish decisions that would cause, Lord, the generations to come to lose the fear of God and for their lives to be headed to destruction. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.